woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the news, so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining.
Well, North Bay Stacks and Jacks, I'm Tim Allen, Greg Pappas on the board. SP Futures up 15. NASDAQ Futures up 64. It's in addition to a massive rally yesterday that if you weren't kind of under a rock, you had to have heard about. We were up massive. The Dow was up 1,500. S&P up 146. NASDAQ up 544. So we're into the high 2% to the 3% range, which we don't normally do. As a matter of fact, we very seldom do. So as of the moment, we're celebrating. You know what's sort of interesting today is the Donald Trump stock traded 30, almost 39 yesterday. Now it's trading 30.90. It's not another $5. It's a little weird. But his new boyfriend, though, Tesla, was up a bunch yesterday, and it's only given up 90 cents today. Do we have Professor Liu?
Good morning, sir.
How are you, bud?
I'm fine. It's snowy and cold here. We've got about 4 or 5 inches of snow on the ground and another 6 to 8 inches headed toward us on Friday, and it's cold. I mean, that snow is staying on the ground. So,
wow.
It's a snowy start to November out here anyway. Ski areas are ecstatic. They got hammered.
Well, good. Good for them. Actually, there's an interesting phenomenon going on in the, unfortunately for poor Audrey, interesting phenomenon going on in the, I don't know, all the suburbs, but there's these weirdo bugs that are infesting people.
People or
actually
their
dogs,
houses?
Well, coming in with dogs, but they do bite, evidently. They're tiny little things, but evidently they normally are all over the place, cause nobody any trouble. And they actually are good for the environment. They feed off, you know, bad stuff, I guess. And but we've had kind of a couple of half-assed frosts here that basically killed everything that they eat. But we haven't had a hard freeze, so they're still here, looking for something to do. And we're not going to have a hard freeze here like the middle of December.
So instead of superfly, it's superflea.
Well, super something. They call them they call them pirate bugs.
Well, I've heard of these.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, it's and the weird part is the normal stuff you put on your dog, the flea and tick control, these things don't pay attention to that. You got to get something totally special.
They're super bugs.
Yeah. Huh.
And so people are suffering from flea bitis?
She had the exterminator over, and the guy had, like, never seen him before, did some research, and he goes, oh, yeah, that's what those things are. They never usually cause any problems. This year they are. Because we had a minor freeze, and then now we won't. And then never had a cold freeze, a hard freeze. I mean, it's weird. I mean,
it's all due to the power plants.
Oh, something.
And cars.
Yeah, it's something. It's good. The guy next door with the gas more, but
hey, let me start by just I want to get after you about your comments yesterday with Kevin about this victory for Trump being the result of a fair amount of racism and sexism in the electorate. So, I did what you do. You tell me I educate you. You educate me all the time. And this is another example. I did what you do. I went and looked at the data. Trump actually got a lower percentage of white voters than any Republican candidate in recent memory, and Harris got a higher percentage of white voters than Hillary, or I think she even got a higher percentage than Bill Clinton, and certainly more than Biden did. I just don't think you can tie it to race and to gender.
I'm trying to be very careful. I don't know if I'm being a good at it or not. We just went through an election where
she was a terrible candidate.
I understand that,
Chief.
I understand that. But they interviewed a black lady yesterday from California. She goes, "We're not ready for a woman president in this country, and especially a black one. Why don't we just understand that?"
Oh, I understand that there are, you can find racists everywhere. That's a racist thing to say, by the way, and by that woman, and I'm sorry, the numbers don't hold it up.
She didn't win.
But she lost with higher percentages of white voters than any of her predecessors. Well,
we just went through an election cycle, and you can say what you want about Trump or whatever, but I'm in the middle on this. I'm not an either party guy, so I think I have somewhat of a unbiased opinion. The man appealed to the one thing I learned about the Shakespeare plays.
He did not appeal. Because his numbers were lower, Tom. Look at your data.
I'm saying he appealed to the id in people, not the ego, and it worked. Not everybody, but an awful lot of people heard. And Kevin is spectacular. And the weird part is, I don't know, maybe I understand this more than maybe the rest of you guys, because I do a show, and you do too, obviously. But it's not what you say, it's what people hear. You can...
Okay. If, in fact... there were a bunch of racist people out there, white people, that heard some subliminal message from Donald Trump, that would have been reflected in the number of people voting for him, would it not?
I'm not sure that I'm talking about individual people. Well, I mean, I still talk to an awful lot of people from the South Side, right?
But Donald Trump's not being elected by one person.
I understand
He's
that.
He's being elected in the aggregate.
Saying right now, for somebody to be elected as a female or a black female or whatever, you have to be somebody special, and she clearly wasn't. I know that. She wasn't special.
I would say her performance is exactly what I would expect of a DEI hire.
Yeah.
Well, somebody that was chosen. She was chosen for that job because she was black and female.
I think that as much as America could be very screwed up, the process to be president. I mean, Trump went through the primaries. He played the game. He did it the way you were supposed to do it. And if the Democrats would have done this properly, in my opinion, they would have done one of two things. Biden would have announced that he wasn't running 6 months ago, a year ago. You would have had a normal primary process. And if she would have come through that and stood at the counters in Iowa and dealt with the blue-haired ladies and all the other stuff that people are forced to do, and came out of it as the winner, people would have had a hell of a lot more respect for her because she played the game.
She was actually a Democratic choice, yes.
I'm saying if she was a choice of the people. Now, Mike Quigley was smart enough to say, when this started to come unglued from the Democrats after the debate, Mike Quigley says, you got to get him out of there quick so you can have some sort of a national primary so the person we run has legitimacy.
Agreed.
And nobody agreed with the guy. They just anointed her. It was a very bad decision on their part.
Well, there was another alternative that they could have done.
Ooh.
They could have done what they should have done in 2021 and exercised the 25th Amendment, removed him, put her in as president, and then let that process play forward.
Either way, the fact is, If somebody would have had a chance to challenge her, and she had three people coming after her, and she would have kicked their ass in the primary like Trump did people, she would have been a legitimate candidate, in my opinion. I'm with you guys on all this.
Okay. So let me just go. I don't pretend to have any particular insight on the election, except to say that what is fascinating to me, and it should be fascinating to you, is that the Republicans on this cycle built a more diverse party in terms of the things that matter to people who track DEI stuff, built a more diverse party than they've had ever, as far as I can tell.
I think it's, I don't know if it's the strength from them, because Trump hasn't changed, or the weakness in the Democrats. I suspect it's the weakness in the Democrats. But either way, it happened. I'm with you.
I agree. And so, I'm, you know,
if you guys look at Chicago voting data, it was Little Village, Midway, and Brighton Park that were the far and away the strongest supporters for Trump. Everything else is solid blue, and it's like 50-50 in Little Village, Midway, and Brighton Park-ish, which is, you know, heavily Latino.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I mean that's a huge change.
Well,
Kevin just raised an interesting point on email, and I think he's right. I agree with this. I think as many people voted for Harris because she's black as voted against her because she's black, probably more.
I'll tell you what, in the Chicago area, the idea of electing somebody just because they're a color when they're not qualified, I think the Brendan Johnson and the...
Oh, my God, yeah, your mayor.
Absolutely has turned people off to this, just put somebody in there who's not qualified. I mean, there's a million.
Except that's what happened with Harris.
Okay, but let me finish here. You and Kevin are trying to take the high road on this, and which I like to do as well. But an awful lot of people, I've been listening to sound bites of people coming out of election places for 5 days now. People coming out of the, and the amount of people that said, I mean, white women someplace that said, oh, he's going to throw those immigrants out like the first day he's in there, we're gonna disembark all of them. I've heard like 20 people say that.
Why is that a racist position rather than a policy position?
How exactly are we going to do this?
It doesn't matter.
Are we going to go there with vans and we're going to put them on trains? What are we going to do?
It doesn't matter how they're going to do it.
He's not going to do it.
The question is that a policy position or a racist position? I think it's a policy position because of the immigration issue.
It is.
It's expressed bluntly.
It's out of the playbook of people that appeal to the lower part of people's minds. Everything that's wrong in this country is because of these immigrants. All the drug problems. They've been here 2 years. All the drug problems, all the murders. I had a conversation with somebody very close to me last Sunday. They're murdering people. For God's sake, there's 500 murders you caused here. How many have been done by these people? None. None. How can you say they're murdering everybody?
That's not the case in other places. But
okay,
I mean,
they've murdered 10,000. Trump said they're murdering thousands of people. Some people are dumb enough to believe that, Lou, and they voted for him. That's my problem with this.
Okay. So again, I don't think that's a racist position that was expressed. I think that's a policy position because the border
is misinformation. It is misinformation to people, and it's throwing your problems onto somebody else. We're not in trouble in this country in drugs because we've let them in for 30 years. We're not in trouble in this country because of our deficits, because we haven't taxed as much as we've spent. I'm not saying we haven't taxed as much. It's because all of a sudden we're spending money on these people, and that's where all our money went.
I think it's a little different than that. I think it's more like we have a whole bunch of issues that we have to deal with, and on top of it, we've dumped 20 million people in here illegally who are not productive and who are now costing us, you know, $200 billion a year.
You know 100% how much I have respected you enough to change my entire view and putting my own mind into what other people think. Okay, like Putin and people like that. I thank you for that. By the way, I love you for it because I was thinking wrong all those years. Don't think for a second now, just because you're an intelligent man, that the little snippets that go to people and all of a sudden I'm voting for him because he's kicking these people out. Have you ever even seen one of those people? Well, no. I mean, don't think that it's not effective to you or Kevin or me, but it's effective to other people.
I absolutely agree. No, I absolutely agree with you that the emotional appeal of that argument in many cases will trump any kind of misuse of the word there, Freudian slip, will trump any kind of rational assessment of the issue.
The bridge Trump.
I agree with you.
The bridge or pinochle Trump.
That's right. Not the bridge Trump. The card game Trump.
Yes.
I will agree with you that if you can get an emotional hook into people on this, and they did, that will supersede the rational analysis that I like to engage in and you like to engage in. No question. That's why, you know, if you were to ask me who won the first debate, notwithstanding what happened back and forth between Harris and Trump and the fact that Harris had the questions in advance, if you asked me who won the first debate, I would say Donald Trump. And you know why? Because a week after that debate, what were we talking about?
Him.
No, we were talking about eating cats and dogs.
Yeah.
That border issue.
How many
came
people?
In and the fact that I mean, they made that was a good faith argument because they had reports from their constituents that was happening. But irrespective of that, that image, that emotional image, created a hook.
Yeah.
That pulled people in much more powerfully than any of the other policy discussions.
I think I said that earlier when I said he appealed to the id, not the ego.
Okay. So we agree on that. You're not gonna get me to argue with that. If you can set an emotional link like that, then man, you can run with it.
I mean, I've tried not well, I did one night of it or two nights of it, so don't believe me, I'm no expert. But when people run for office, I was talking to Russell about this yesterday. I mean, Russell, God, you could be the brightest guy on the show, but you're not involved. What I heard so much when I was taking my media training, when we were running for the board seat, which was nothing, it was a zero thing. The media training there was if you can't say something negative, a positive response from somebody does not get you a vote. A negative response means that they won't vote for you. The negative is so much more powerful than the positive. And intelligent people like on this show most people don't. You know, they'll sit there.
People complain. People complain. Why are we so negative in the campaigns? Yeah. And the answer is because it works.
Well, that, what I'm saying is if you're being truthful to people, people say, how come Harris doesn't answer questions? None of them really do. I mean, Trump insults people, okay, but it's his way of
I'm going to interrupt you there. I want you, this is why you should have sat down and listened to that Joe Rogan interview.
You know, here's my issue with that.
He and Vance both gave a very coherent explanation of how they would move people out of here.
Okay, but it's not up to you or Kevin or me or any other Trump follower to find the one spot where he was coherent, which he can be. I'm not saying he's a total loser at all. He's won the presidency twice. He has a skill set for sure. That's not what other people hear. They hear the other stuff.
I think a sizable percentage of his voters.
His voters heard
what you and I have talked about his appeal was before.
The Joe Rogan interview had me pissing in Lake Michigan instead of eating cats and dogs and throwing people out of the country was way more powerful. Way more powerful.
Oh, I agree because it was a snippet, but I'm just saying, and I agree with you. I'm not going to argue with you on that. And if you read somebody like who comments on this all the time, like Scott Adams or people along those lines, they talk about that emotional hook that you're referencing, and you're not going to get any argument from me. A huge part of being a successful politician in this kind of a market with, you know, the limited attention spans is getting a policy position condensed down to a graphic or visually gripping image that you can run with. And somebody barbecuing a cat, that was the image.
What basically got us out of Vietnam were two things. Well, people getting killed, people getting tired of it. Two things were the Life magazine picture of the kid getting shot in the head, and Dan and was a Walter Cronkite coming back and said, "We got to get out of there. We can't win."
Well, that was Tet. You know, so those things were associated with the Tet offensive.
I'm saying nothing was more. That's the most powerful picture I've ever seen in my life, to this day.
I would.
It's got to be up there. It's got
to
be up there.
I would disagree. To my mind, the thing that got us out of Vietnam was the lottery, the draft lottery, because all of a sudden the sons and daughters of upper middle class and upper class families who had much more political influence than the lower middle class and lower class families who were sending their kids off to war, that those upper class families suddenly started screaming that, you know, little Johnny was being drafted even though he was a college student or was married or whatever. You know, they ended the deferments.
This is funny. And Kevin Sweet and Joe Rogan's insane. Okay, I'm going to put him right in friggin' heaven. I'm not going to do that. Okay, all I'm saying, Lou, is there are awfully, and these are people that maybe you and Kevin and I don't hang around with, but I talk to all kinds of people. I mean, I shouldn't be out at night going from place to place, but
agree. But I think Kevin and I will both agree on that.
Greg. You know, but what I'm saying is the amount of hatred there is around this world, in this country right now. People have been screwed economically. They're blaming it on everybody else. This has happened all through history. Every white person who's out of a job is blaming it from the black person who was got the job when they should have got the job or gotten to college they shouldn't. And every black person is blaming the white people of having all the money and not giving it. The amount of hatred back and forth in this country right now is over the top of the boiling water. And to ignore that it's there. I've talked to white people.
I'm not ignoring it.
I've never seen anything like this.
I'm just saying the race, you know, the race issue apparently was less of a factor in Trump support.
It was not less of a factor.
Than it has been historically.
It is not less of a factor than individual people that I talk to.
Okay. We're back to Pauline Kael territory.
But it's still there.
Do you know who Pauline Kael was?
No.
Maybe. No, she was a film critic for the New York Times and a scion of the East Coast media establishment back in the 1960s and 1970s. And she was overheard to one of her friends talking at a cocktail party in 1969 that she didn't understand how Richard Nixon could possibly have won the presidency because nobody she knew voted for him. And that's, you know, we're all, it's a classic. It's a classic. Oh, yeah,
without a doubt.
Yeah. So anyway, well, I just wanted to make that issue. I just, if you look at the numbers that are coming out here, that this looks like what Trump has assembled is from a Republican Party perspective, a very, very diverse coalition class.
And I'm hoping he learns from the first time and does a good job. I hope I do too.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed that you know, he has a number of weaknesses, but the one that was most predominant to me or seemed predominant to me was his inability to pick quality folks. And so he surrounded himself with some bad people.
He has an ego the size of Illinois. Which
every president,
I know, which to me is a positive thing. He doesn't want to do a bad job. I think that's I'm not all negative. I'm just saying, look at what's happened in this country. Everybody agrees we had two candidates in it. Why the hell did they get there? It seems that way. We have economic issues. I don't care if he's Solomon. We're broke and we're blaming it on immigrants, and it's not them.
Well, but let's take the flip side here. You know, Occam's razor, right? The simplest explanation is the best. So Biden picks a vice presidential candidate based not on her electability, because she did not win a single delegate when she campaigned for president in 2020. He picks her on the basis of her gender and her race.
Reed Salem, Sarah Palin.
He said that. Well, he said that.
Yeah.
I don't know about. I can't say that for Sarah Palin. I can say that for Harris because Biden said that's what he was going to do. You know, every now and then there's an advantage to senility.
Well, Kennedy picked Johnson for geographic areas, and the guy I think killed
him. Well, sure. I mean, there are reasons. There are all kinds of reasons to pick. So she gets picked. She gets picked for these reasons, not for quality or intellect or most importantly electability. See, Johnson was electable, and I think the assessment on McCain's part is that Palin was too, to help him jumpstart his campaign.
Boy.
Biden picks Harris on these two factors to pull in that demographic and cement his hold with that demographic. She was an eminently unelectable person. And one of the things that jumped out at people when he nominated her was the fact that if she started out pretty well thought of when the primary started running in 2020, and the more exposure people got to her in those debates, the lower her support dropped.
I don't disagree. I have a question for you.
So you end up with a candidate who running. I mean, when they short circuited the primary process, and I mean, I don't know, you blame this on whoever you want. They should have had him out of there, you know, 2 years ago.
I'm going to go back further than that. Let's do it after break, though, because I have a real serious question to ask you regarding comparing this to Roosevelt and the Truman situation. And let's talk about that, because it's a piece of American history. We don't have to argue about it. I think it's just there. S&P futures up 14, NASDAQ futures up 76. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, welcome back, Stocks and Jacks. I'm talking about Greg Pappas on the board. S&P futures up 15, continuing yesterday's rally. S&P futures up 78. By the way, Greg, clients had a huge day yesterday, didn't they? I don't think our people have ever had a better day than yesterday. I mean, we had no short calls anywhere. We were just
big up day,
and we were all set for it.
Down day for volatility too.
Yeah.
If you were short options, those got murdered.
Yeah, but if you were anywhere near the money, they were in the money. They were pretty close anyway. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 253. That's 1.3%. FTSE down 9, 0.1%. They lowered the interest rates by 0.25% in London. CAC round up 45.6. Over in Asia, the Nikkei down 99. They were up yesterday big, 0.2%. Hang Seng up again, 414. That's 2%, 20,953. They were down yesterday, so now they're up today. Shanghai is up 86. That's 2.5%, 3470. Yesterday, they didn't like Trump in. Today, they do. We don't know what the hell's going on over there. Yesterday, again, the numbers are, got to read them again because they're huge. Dow up 1,500, S&P up 146, NASDAQ up 544, it's 3%. Dow was up the most, 357. Of course, NVIDIA is going into the Dow now, and we're booting out Intel. I think there's somebody else going in. I'll talk about it tomorrow. 10-year There's the one fly in the ointment here is up another 2 basis points, 4.44. That keeps creeping. I don't care who's president. It could be Solomon, and we start paying more and more in interest. There's going to be a problem. Bund up 8 basis points. That's a huge move. 2.48. Japan up 3 basis points, 1.01. So interest rates are on the rise worldwide, despite central banks, which our guys are announced today, probably a quarter point cut. You can cut the quarter point near term all you want, but if people think inflation's coming, further out it's going to keep going. Oil down 64 cents, 71.05. Brent down 50 cents, 74.42. Natural gas up a penny, 276. Gold down $1.40. Had a big down day yesterday, 26.74. Silver down 5 cents, 31.27. Foreign exchange on the dollar had a huge move up yesterday. Today backed off a little bit to where the euro's up to 107.7. Remember, two, three weeks ago it was 111. So that's like a 3% move in a couple of weeks. That's a real lot. British pound 129.4. They haven't moved as much as the euro dollar, but it has moved some. Crypto, which had a massive day yesterday, is down 975, but it traded over 75,000, still 74,096. There's stuff moving all over the place. You got to pay attention to kind of all this stuff, especially the dollar, don't you think, Greg? What do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. I can't watch the Bulls ever again. I mean, are they horrible or what?
They are, well, still the beginning. So
let me ask a real simple question. Luke can answer this too, or Kevin, if he's around. Why, if you have played no defense and you turn the ball over like one out of two times down the floor, do you want to play an up-tempo game? Do you think you'd slow it down if you're that horrible? Just saying.
They could try. I mean, it's something to try,
I guess.
Maybe they were under pressure.
Anyway, fire away. Traffic, weather, sports.
Yeah. What is it? 6:38 here in Chicago. We got 48 degrees, high of 56 today. 46 now in Phoenix. Yeah, high of 68. It is cool. And tonight is going to be chilly, too. It looks like it's dropping below 50. Let's see. NBA, Bulls, like you just said, lost to the Mavs. That was in Dallas, 99-119. Suns beat. And inbound Kennedy from Montrose is 33 minutes. Inbound Edens from Lake Cook is 46 minutes. Eisenhower from Wolf is 30 minutes. Dan Ryan from 95th Inn is 19 minutes. And the Stevenson from 294 to the Ryan is 35 minutes. That's all I got, Chief.
Well, I just want to give a quick little bit of a history on this and critique, you know, the Democratic Party going back a little bit here, because, you know, I used to be a Democrat, but, I mean, to set a stage here, it was an interesting, I don't know if you still read Freedom from Fear, William Kennedy, but I'm sure you know about this anyway. But Roosevelt had four terms, but he died in his fourth term, right? So the first three terms he had, was the guy's name Wendell Willkie Loom? That Roosevelt liked.
Commentator.
But he never even talked to, right? I mean, basically, he wasn't involved in anything. And so all of a sudden, Roosevelt's running for the fourth term, and it's obvious that the man's not feeling well. Right, so Harry Truman, in the book, there was a big section on him, and he's given his own notes. He says, you know, I get invited to this meeting with Roosevelt and a bunch of other people talking about, he goes, I had no idea that it had be that they were going to select me for VP. He goes, I don't even know the guy liked me. So they get there, and they're interviewing him. He says, I took one look at Roosevelt, and I said, you know what, they're not interviewing me for vice president. They're interviewing me for president. This guy's not going to last a year, much less four. And he didn't. Why, when Biden ran last time, and we had...
Good question. I know where you're going. Question.
But, I mean, when Biden ran time before, I mean, we had Wayne Madsen on, talking about Trump was a little chaotic, did some good stuff. Then he got caught with the COVID. I don't know. I can criticize him for that. I'm not so sure I'd have done any better. It was a pretty awful thing. He's getting bad advice from people. He didn't know enough to fire Fauci, or maybe that would have been so controversial if he did it. Who knows? But the fact is, it ended up being kind of goat bleep, right? And I don't really blame that on him. But there was some sort of chaos going on, and I don't know that he made it worse or better. You know what? As much as people think I don't like the guy, I don't think he did that bad of a job. And I'm not so sure the COVID thing. I mean, Kevin and I both agree on something. His management of people where he gets somebody there he likes and 2 weeks later the guy's out is a little weird. I know maybe he's not going to do that this time.
I'll be real interested to see what happens with Vance.
But I'm saying, how did the Democratic Party, like Wayne Mattson said, they put Biden in, it's not the first time that in a chaotic situation you get some old dude, you put him in there. Was it the French or the Germans that it would Conrad Adenauer? And it's not unheard of. But now, when you put the dude in there, he physically he's not in that bad of shape, Biden, but he looked like he was kind of losing it, which makes it's kind of worse because he always kind of slurred anyway, right? He had a little bit of a speech impediment. But,
well, they Tom, okay, but they knew it was bad.
20 more
they
seconds.
Kept him out of the campaign.
I know, but so he's in there. So why not do the same thing that Roosevelt had the intelligence to do? Let's find somebody to be vice president that is basically ready to be president tomorrow, which Harry Truman was. I mean, he was ahead of the Senate, how many committees and stuff. So instead, they go out and get somebody to grab votes, sort of like a Sarah Palin thing. And I don't get that. They should have realized at best he was a one-term president.
Okay,
so why not have the common sense like we used to have to do something like that?
Here is my thought process. They were not looking for a competent president. They were looking for, because they didn't know that he was going to last 4 years. I don't think anybody who looked at him, who watched him in 2019 and 2020, thought he was going to make 4 years.
Well, he clearly wasn't going to make 8, right?
Yeah. So, but they weren't looking for a strong president or somebody who was going to step up. The cabal, the unelected, and this is where I go after, I fault Harrison. This was a showstopper for me. The cabal that was running the Joe Biden operation, and I assume it was the Obamas.
It's the Valerie Jarrett group, I think. But
yeah, okay, same deal. That was running the Biden everything. Wanted a puppet that they could manipulate readily, who was not going to stand up and say, "Wait a minute, none of you people are elected. I was. Get the hell out of here." This group of advisors, Blinken and the rest of them, ran the government of the United States for 4 years with no electoral basis or constitutional basis whatsoever. And they wanted a person like Biden, basically vapid, shallow, brainless, who would be totally dependent on them, that they could slide into that position if and when it became necessary to replace Biden. And I think that was the plan. They were not looking, and Biden wasn't. I mean, he, to whatever mental capacity he had, he wasn't looking for somebody that was going to supplant him. And I'm, you know, I think he's been like the worst president since Carter. And he I think he's as bad as Jimmy Carter. I think he's absolutely as dangerous
as Carter.
Carter cut
so much. The economics was, there's no way he could have fought that.
Yep, I know.
But
I know.
You know, Lou, I didn't tell you this, but I'm
going to say that you know, I look at Carter as dangerous from an existential, but I mean existential to the United States, and I look at Biden the same way, with the constitutional breakdown that we had.
If we would have,
but that's why they picked her.
Unbeknownst to you, because it didn't happen. If she would have won, I was putting together. Actually, was already kind of working on it, like a 10-thing piece of advice that I would have run by all the rest of you guys, and actually tried to send it to her, an open letter, put it in the Tribune, put it wherever I could have put it, on how not to be like the last one. And a lot of it had to do with, you've got to develop your own sources of information, not listen to people around you. Roosevelt did that. That's what made him special. How many people did he have writing letters to him that nobody else saw, just write to him?
Well, so did, I mean, a guy that I, you know, from a personal morality perspective, I think was a lunatic, but whose style and essence I consider myself to be modeled after, and that's John Kennedy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Kennedy was brilliant. And if you have really smart people or clever people, you can set yourself up like that because you can assimilate all this information. She has demonstrated over and over again that she is either, and I don't, you know, I don't think she's very smart, but I have no idea. I've never talked to her.
John Kennedy was innately. Did you ever listen to any of those? The guy who dug out those old crummy tapes from those days and actually mastered some of them, you could listen to them.
Yeah.
But the guy said, no matter what industry was in there, no matter what group of idiots were in the Oval Office, 5 minutes into their conversation, John Kennedy was the smartest man in the room and knew more about their business than they did. Said he was incredibly brilliant.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean,
we're not getting that. Event, we're not getting that.
I consider myself a Kennedy Democrat. That's where my political position is. I don't know whether it's brilliance or smarts or just laziness. She has demonstrated over and over again with every one of her public appearances, and I'm not just talking about the campaign, I'm talking about going back from the day she came in, that she is not willing to prepare. She's not willing to get up to speed. She's not willing to do the hard work that it takes to master the intricacies of how government works.
Can I jump in here?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So there's this, I'm not sure if you guys follow him online or not, but the Young Turks have a host named Cenk Uygur. He's been all over this about who people are listening to. And I think it was yesterday when he tweeted out that, you know, they didn't lose. The Democrat consultant class won because they outraised, I think, Trump by like 5-1 or whatever. Oh. And the consultants that had that job made 15% on something like $1 billion.
That's not bad.
There's a tweet, I think it was yesterday or... Yeah, it was midway through yesterday. I'll find it in a second. Give me two seconds here. That he was just saying that, you know, maybe it's who you're listening to. It's they did you wrong here.
By the way, Greg, do you know they raised a ton? This is interesting.
Cenk Uygur, here it is. Democratic voters are upset today because we failed to win. What they don't realize is that the Democratic consultant class didn't fail. They made 15% on $1 billion. That's why they emphasize raising more money from the donor than actually delivering for the voters.
I got a thing yesterday.
Well, let me run off on this. There are credible reports as of last night that the Harris campaign is $20 million in debt.
Nah.
Yes.
Yeah, they must be. They wanted money from me yesterday. How did they get my phone number?
They burned through. And this, Greg, I know, I couldn't believe it either. I didn't believe it when I first read it, but I've gone back in and looked at the sources. They raised $1 billion. They were, as of October 16th, I think it was, they had $118 million left in their war chest, and they burned through it in what, 3 weeks?
Wait a minute.
Four weeks?
Why
wasn't Greg able to get a chunk of that for Stocks and Jacks?
That's brutal.
Apparently, well, if Greg had been Beyonce, they paid Beyonce $10 million for a 10-minute appearance at one of the concert rallies.
That's so ignorant. That is so ignorant. I can't even go there.
I'm beginning to think that this is that there was an element, as Greg just noted, there was an element of in by the middle of October, people realizing we suck. Our candidate's a loser. Let's get this money out to our friends as fast as we can. Because when she loses, all that money's just going to go back to the DNC.
You do know that if we had a whole bunch of people that sponsored Stocks and Jacks, we used to be on a couple stations, right? I'm still on their mailing list for some reason, email list. You have to be very careful that if somebody wants a political ad, you have to give them the lowest price anybody gets during the day. So that is why when John and I were on the score, like the Mike North was always... $2.50 a segment. It's going back a ways, and nobody wanted to pay $2.50 for Mike North. So what they do is you'd pay $2.50, and they throw a commercial on ours, allegedly for free. Okay, but obviously it wasn't for free. So you have to be really careful with this political stuff. That they get those ads real cheap. I mean, as cheap as you can possibly get on any kind of media.
So think about burning through $118 million in roughly 3 weeks. Actually, no, they burned through $140 million because their $20 million in debt.
You're paying people to spend it. They're going to spend it. I don't want to say it. I was going to say it's like telling your girlfriend, "Here's my credit card. Go buy yourself something nice."
I'm going to end our discussion about the campaign because we're beating lots of dead horses. Here's another one. So put that off to the side. The government of Germany is in the process of collapsing and shattering. They're about to have new elections, I think, in March. The two issues that are jumping out in Germany. The first is their absolute collapse of their energy sector. They decided they were going to go green. They shut down some of the most efficient nuclear facilities in Europe. The price of energy in Germany, and I remember talking about.
I'm trying not to interrupt. Now, when you say they shut them down, they didn't tear them down. Could they start them back up, or are they maintaining?
They are making. Well, they were in the process of dismantling them, but
really? Oh, wow.
The right wing guys that got elected out of Saxony, a place I was just wandering through about 2 years ago, the right wing guys that are in Saxony, and these are mostly East Germans.
Had
a very strong showing at the last election, and they've come back and said, when this government falls apart, and it is falling apart, we're gonna get those plants restarted because we're cutting down our forests to heat our houses right now in Eastern Germany, and that's the truth.
Why do they think that the nuclear stuff was so dirty? It isn't.
It's green because of the green option, because of the mentality of the Greens, which is dangerous.
Cutting down a tree and burning the tree is not green.
This is the kind of short-sighted thinking, Tom, that permeates much of the environmental movement.
Why?
Which is ultimately, if you talk to these people, ultimately aimed at basically reducing the human population on the planet to a few well-off, you know, solar-powered enclaves. I'm not kidding.
You might not know the answers, but I'm curious.
Last topic. American Airlines has now directed its flight attendants that they may not remove people from airplanes for conduct without the filing all this other paperwork, unless it's safety of flight. They can't remove them for conduct. They can't remove them
How do you remove somebody in the middle of the flight anyway?
They can't remove them for body odor. Apparently there was this blow up on an American Airlines flight last spring where they kicked a bunch of people off, all of whom happened to be black men. They kicked like six of them off an airplane for, quote, body odor, unquote.
Well, were they at least wearing a shirt, or were they wearing the wife beater?
I mean, I don't know what they were wearing. I assume they were properly attired.
Why would you assume that? I've seen guys going on there with the what do you call them, the halter top kind of shirt, the wife beater undershirt. I've seen those.
Oh yeah, no. I assume these guys were properly dressed, because if they kicked, they would have kicked them off for not being properly attired otherwise. But the body odor thing.
Oh, God.
I was thinking. Have you sat next to somebody who hasn't like bathed for 4 or 5 days on an airplane?
You know,
I have.
Funny you should mention that. He was on the show a couple times.
This is going back to your pirate bug stuff.
Yeah. Well, my buddy McPhee. He came on the show a couple days. He used to work for the Fed. He retired. I don't want to say about his math on this one, because the guy was a brilliant economist. He was picking up a lot of miles the last couple of years in the Fed, right? So he did a conference in Britain, and he was going to go to a conference in China. So he wanted to fly around the world. So come back here and fly into China, he kept going the other way, right? So he lands somewhere down in Israel or somewhere, and there's a flight going across Russia. And he goes, he's telling me over an adult beverage, he goes, you know, I'm sitting there and I realize that I'm probably the only person around here that's taken a shower the last day or two. And I asked him a serious question. Jan, how long did you smell it? And he said, no, there is a good question. He goes, about a half hour. Then you got used to it. I said, so if everybody smells, nobody smells. And he goes, pretty much, you're right. he says, you get used to it. I'm saying I want to get used to it. But
anybody who's ridden a bus in Athens, Greece, in the middle of July,
yeah,
because there's so much garlic being consumed by the population, you know, it's coming out of the pores.
Means they're healthy, at least they're healthy.
Yeah, well, they are healthy, yeah. But I mean, you get into that. I never did adjust to this person sitting next to me who had not obviously bathed for
a while,
days.
Yeah,
and I'm you know, there are some things. I mean, air travel is bad enough, but that's a bad one. I think you ought to be able to. If somebody's hygiene is so bad that they are, you know, reeking.
I actually have more trouble if somebody sits down next to me and they're perfumed to the max.
Yeah.
Especially if it's kind of crummy. I have a weather question for you, because you know a lot of stuff. We're talking about, you know, the world being warmer and all this other kind of stuff. What? Yet every time you hear a record, oh, it's going to be 85 today. On a record, the last record was 89 in 1952 or something. So obviously,
yep.
It has been. What was the? I should know this. I don't. What was the particular weather issues during the 30s that gave us the Dust Bowl? Was the entire country that hot and dry, or was it just that one area? I should know more about that because I brought it up, but I'm hoping you do because you usually know stuff like that.
My recollection.
Well, you weren't
is
here.
That, no, I wasn't. Yeah. I wasn't. But my recollection from my reading was that it was a dome of high pressure, an abnormally long-lasting dome of high pressure that moved over the central U.S. and stayed there. And it stayed there for weeks. And
but it was years.
Well, it that cycle, I mean, it happened over a series of summers, but it stayed there for weeks, baked everything, and then moved on, and so you ended up with that topsoil being depleted and blown away. And
well, didn't a lot of people plow areas that had never been plowed before? So that's the reason why the topsoil was lost, correct? And that's why people don't do that on their farms anymore, really. A lot of them don't. Greg knows more about this. He's our agriculture beat. In Illinois, where you always get some rain, you still get people to plow the fields. They look like a plowed field, but a lot of places they don't. They just cut it down and just plant right between where the old rows used to be, right? Because is a way to not lose topsoil.
I think that's correct, but in any event, it was a combination of weather and farming practices and but it, as I understand it, was a weather pattern of where the jet stream was up high and wasn't coming down to move these high pressure systems out of the central part of the country.
Was the rest of the country that hot too? Was it with that whole area of a hot time?
I don't know about the rest of the country. It's again the high pressure dome. The biggest problem is you don't get any clouds because it's a dry air mass, and so the sun just beats down mercilessly. I think I recall right there were hot temperatures in the east on the East Coast around that time, but it wasn't you didn't have the dry issue.
Well, that was
so the hot air moved on, but it didn't, it got filled up with moisture as it moved.
Well, that was the issue, the New Deal, right? I think from my I read a while ago from Freedom from Fear was that the Roosevelt brought back Congress in the summer to pass a lot of his stuff, Social Security and everything, because he was having trouble getting it through Congress. All the New Deal, there's like four of them that are left, Social Security being one of them. I should be able to, Department of Agriculture, all the stuff they did. Anyway, there's like four or five big New Deal things that are still around. And he brought these guys back in the summer. And evidently it was so freaking hot in Washington and there was no air conditioning in Congress. They were meeting outside in like the mall, because you could at least get under a tree. Because you couldn't even be in one of the buildings. So these guys said, whatever you want me to sign, I'll sign. I'm going home. But that was part of the New Deal, was so friggin' hot.
I mean, when I started practicing in South Carolina in the late 80s, the federal courthouse and the state courthouses there still shut down for August. You had no activity because it was so hot that they weren't going to have trials or hearings in those courthouses because they were so hot. And that, I mean, I think they're all air conditioned now, but that was a holdover from that time frame. That and seersucker. And I could say absolutely that I've never owned a seersucker suit, but if you went into a courthouse in the South, the deep South, in Washington, you know, anytime between, you know, the early 1900s and you know, the 1990s, you would see guys in seersucker suits.
Why did people? The average person had to be 50 pounds lighter back in those days. But when you see like baseball games in St. Louis and everybody's got a suit and tie and a hat on, God's sake, how could they, how did they, how did they, did you ever see it's a mini series, but it was a book, Isaac Storm. It has to do with the hurricane down in Galveston.
Oh, I know. I read that book like 5 times.
I'm a huge fan of that author. But all the pictures.
Yep.
Greg.
In Houston. In Galveston.
All he did was talk about how hot it was that summer, and these guys are all walking along in 3-piece suits with hats on.
And the women are wearing corsets and layer on layer of petticoats and undergarments. Some of the early photographs, moving pictures of like the World's Fair in St. Louis, and you know how hot St. Louis is in the middle of the summer. And these people are dressed up. I'm just looking at it going,
were they just skinnier, or are they just used to it, or what?
Well, that's why they were skinnier. Nobody can eat when you're that uncomfortable. I'm just looking at it going, are you people insane? What?
I got a picture. If you could put it on, we could put it. Everybody would just marvel at it. They think it somehow I AI'd it. Audrey owned a place down in Ogden Dunes. It was a real old kind of log cabin place. It had been fixed up. So one day, some lady calls her and said, can I come see your house? And Aud goes, okay. Lady comes over, because, you know, Aud likes everybody, and she loves showing houses, her own included. Lady comes over with all these pictures that had to have been from the 20s, maybe. And they show these four guys. It was like the only house there. You know, it's like a block from the beach. There's an outhouse in the back, an outhouse, not the kind you have now, the plastic ones. These guys are sitting out there, you know, sitting at your beach house. They all got a 3-piece suit on and a tie, and they're sitting out there on like a lawn chair.
Yeah, were they wearing boaters? Straw flat hats?
No, the boulder things, a real one, not a straw one. I'm saying that can't be fun. But that's the way people dressed. I mean, when they opened up... Bob Gibson is one of his biggest games. I know Bob Gibson was a spectacular pitcher. They just opened up like the new stadium or something, and he all these people had these white shirts out in the outfield, so batter couldn't see the ball.
That's a great idea.
The Wrigley Field, that thing in the middle, in center field, they used to actually sell those seats. So you'd have to pick the ball up out of that background. And then they said, oh, no. And then for years and years, I don't know if you remember, Greg does it because it's not before his lifetime, they just had the empty seats there. And finally one day said, well, let's put the green carpet over it so it at least looks better, not just empty seats. And then now they got the big, you know, all the nice evergreens and all the other stuff out there. But it used to just be empty seats. Anyway, so we have a question. I sure as hell not hoping it. What happens if something happens to somebody who's elected? Physical ammo. What happens if Trump gets sick between now and inauguration?
Or gets assassinated.
Well, I don't want to say that. I don't want anybody to get
assassinated. But that's that based on past history, that's more,
but I mean, he could have a grabber. I mean, people
He could. Well, I mean, I think the vice president becomes the president-elect, and he picks another one.
Well, but you think that's what does happen?
I'm sure that's what happens.
Okay, so...
But you know what? We can Google that.
Because, I mean, so now he's, you know, that would make sense to me. Because it seems like, you know, when Roosevelt went in, didn't they not get inaugurated until, like, March?
Yes. I don't know if that's right with Roosevelt, but, yeah, it used to be until March, right.
How did that even work? The other guy in there for, like, 5 months.
That had to be awful. I'm sort of confused as to why we wait 2 months.
Yeah, well, no, we don't. We do, actually. It's the middle of January. I mean, look at all the stuff that happened when Bush and Obama, all the stuff, the 2008 crap came down between the election and January, right? Those guys were at least able to talk to each other, Obama and Bush, right? They were sort of, their teams were working on that's right when the big financial crash happened, right? It was between the election and the inauguration.
Yeah, I'm just taking a quick.
The vice president gets it. I looked at it.
Yeah, it's the VP that gets it.
Okay.
But I think he just appoints.
So he's, party appoints. So he's the VP now, not just, he doesn't have to wait to be sworn in. He's already the VP. He's the VP. Okay, well, that makes sense. What do you think of him, just real quick?
Vance?
Yeah.
Oh, this is an discussed part of this election so far, but if I were the Democrats, I'd be absolutely terrified of running against J.D. Vance based on what I've seen so far. I think
Kevin likes
him.
I mean, is he just a good? I mean, is he well read? Is he somebody we would like to talk to? He's, I mean, seems like it.
Yeah, he's everything. He's everything Kamala Harris was not. He's articulate. He's prepared. He does the work. He's got a great backstory, you know, coming up out of poverty. But if you'd seen him on Joe Rogan, or any of the interviews that he did,
I may actually listen to these things, guys. I mean, it's not like I won't, you know.
No. Yeah. But I'm just saying, if you listen to him, I mean, he reminds me of a Kennedy Democrat kind of guy in the sense that, or Clinton, very, very solid grasp of issues and policies and the interaction. So there, I think he's a little more focused on foreign policy than Trump. But I think if I were the Democrats, I'd be really worried that this is the guy we're going to be running against in 2028, because frankly, Newsom, Whitmer, who knows who else is going to bubble up out of that mire, but the tar pit that is the Democratic nominating pool. But
it is kind of a tar pit. I mean, I don't think there's any chance of me getting my party back ever. So I'm gonna be in the middle forever or what?
Well, I mean, I think they have to go. They'll have to go through a kind of a populist revolution like the Republicans did.
Well, give me Paul Simon. Give me Adlai Stevenson. Give me Everett Dirksen. Give me a moderate Democrat.
None of those guys would be Democrats right now.
No, Dirksen was Republican. I'd be happy to have him. Whatever. Lou, thank you very much. It's not. They're not. You can't ski yet. They're not making snow or anything, are they?
Oh, they've got all the ski areas are open.
Really? I thought the national parks, no matter what you did, you can't open early.
They're all open.
Okay.
So
that means you're going?
I don't know. We'll see.
All right, bud. Take care of yourself.
You too.
SP Futures up 17. NASDAQ Futures up 93. You want to go a quick break, Greg, or you want to go right to Dan?
Let's do a 10-second.
10-second break? All right. Go ahead.
Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now, right here.
Blown up X, Tyson Jacks. I'm Tom Howe. Greg Pappas on the board. SP Futures up 1750. NASDAQ Futures up 95, where we're still continuing this rally from yesterday. Although I'm kind of stunned. Dan, we have Dan?
Yes.
How are you, buddy? Did you sell DJT yesterday at 38, and you're buying it back now at 32?
No. I was buying VTI in the overnight market.
There you go.
Yeah.
Why do you think Donald Trump's stock's getting hammered?
I think all the results were quite surprising, I think, to us average investors, and really not being prepared to how to handle it. I think the way this comes out is short term, the Trump trade looks attractive, you know, buy stocks, expect corporate taxes to go lower. Expect regulation to subside. I think in the short run, it looks good. In the long run, I would be selling. And once we get into next year, I do think there will be a correction in the market. There will be further attention paid towards tariffs, further attention paid towards some other issues that are going to include tax liabilities that are still present. So how quickly can Trump eliminate or diminish some of the other tax liabilities that he's been talking about for a while.
Well, I have a whole series of questions, but first of all, we don't normally talk about specific stocks. You might not even notice this, you'll say. But in the mayhem of the massive rally, why was Procter & Gamble getting its ass kicked? Are they susceptible to tariffs? I mean, I'm sitting there going, why are these guys down like everybody else is up? I couldn't get that. I would think that if the economy is going to pick up, why wouldn't they do as good as everybody else? What am I missing?
Yeah, that might be a bellwether story where the tariffs are, where they are impacted more by the tariffs than some other companies.
Well, Dan, what, without, I'm not trying to criticize anybody's policies here, or what, but we had an awful lot of talk during the campaign on both sides of what they're going to do for everybody, right? You know, a chicken in this pot and a turkey in that pot. I mean, that's basically what why can't somewhere along the line when the Donald sits down in the Oval Office, somebody's going to have to put a calculator on that desk, the same thing they would have had to do for Harris. How the hell, in the pickle we're in, can you even think of cutting taxes? I mean, how does that even work?
I agree 100%. It just does not seem like the right time to be pushing that policy. And part of the concern is just that we have had so much money pumped into the system. That would be a huge amount of money pumped into the system. We have had valuations of equities like exceed their fair market value. It would take a little bit of time before analysts would be able to figure out the direct impact that a specific percentage correction and taxes is going to impact the company. But in general, I'll say that any type of cut in tax is going to benefit the customer. You know, it's going to benefit certain customers more than others, but in general, pretty much across the board, it's going to help customers.
Because
I'm talking about companies when I say customers.
How long is it going to take us to, I'll use the term, get out of the election bull bleep, kind of on both sides? I listened to somebody on CNBC yesterday talking about how what a great win it is for Trump, which it is for him, obviously, maybe for the rest of us, who knows. And how he's going to unleash the oil drilling. Never once mentioned we're at record highs right now.
I know.
And also didn't mention that at $70 a barrel, I don't know if anybody's scrambling to drill more at that number. It's kind of a neutral number. It's not a 150 number where you're going to go drill in your backyard. Oh, by the way, we're going to have so much more oil, the price of gas is going to go down, and it's going to cure the inflation problem.
Uh-huh.
How in God's name does somebody get on TV and say something like that without getting the gong show hook or something?
Yeah, the second part of that I definitely don't agree with. The fact that we're going to have better oil prices, true, that should happen, especially in the short run. Long run, I'm not sure. It doesn't impact the price of gas at the pump every day. Not sure if it may be a minor impact. That hasn't been the primary issue as far as I'm concerned. Housing costs, food costs, service costs, those have been the things that we really should be focusing on. Those are the things that are still up in the air for how and when the Trump policy is going to impact those issues.
Well, and also, we have some people, I think, that are foolish enough to buy this tariff argument. And the tariff,
right,
tariff revenue in this country is $69 billion. Income tax revenue is $2.4 trillion. Tell me how one is even, it's not even peeing in Lake Michigan, for God's sake, one versus the other. How are you going to get $1 trillion tariff out of people, or $2 trillion?
You're not.
No. So when we get to the end of this, and Trump, no, his people know that. He's got a pretty good team around him. What do you think is going to end up? The regulatory part, I agree. By the way, that'd be nice in our industry. He was good to our industry before in terms of regulation, so I'm hoping he will be again. That part I get. I don't know who. I don't care who the hell you are, Dan. These numbers. I mean, we're talking about a $2 trillion budget deficit and a almost $36 trillion national debt.
That's not going away.
Those numbers are the same for everybody.
Right, and that isn't going away. That's going to be there in January.
Well, it's there now. It's. Yeah, you know, I don't know.
It will still be there in January.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see what. We've got personal debt per citizen, $76,000. Savings per family, $10,000. Now, of course, that doesn't include people's stocks and 401ks and stuff, I don't imagine. But this bus, if he's smart enough to turn it around, my hat's off to him, but I'm not so sure where we'd even start, Dan. Where would we?
I think it's going to be a while before he starts. Some other concerns that came to me were from some clients who were wondering how they managed to be on the national health care plan, whether they be small business owners that were able to write off a fair amount of their income expenses or their expenses for their business, and are left over with the net earnings that is put them in the place where they've been eligible for Obamacare or the national health care plan. Those people could be impacted. Those are people who are hardworking, that run small businesses, that just happen to benefit from a lower cost for their national health care plan. That would definitely have an impact on people in that category. What I was saying yesterday and this morning is that those policies are not going to be impacted. Now, it's possible that once they're discussed or impacted a few months into the new year, that they'd be retroactive to the first of the year. And that would definitely take a bite for any small business owners that have managed to be able to be on the Obamacare plan because their net earnings fell below $49,000 and they were able to provide health insurance to themselves and to their families for an extended period of time at a much lower cost. So that's just one cost that would impact, that's still up for in the air. Trump did say that he was going to make effort to make sure there were no taxes on Social Securities, that he was going to make a concerted effort to drop the Medicare payments. Those are all good things in words, but when are they going to happen? And I think that's the big question with those issues as well as other issues. Somebody said to me today, well, does this automatically mean that the issues he was discussing go into a place as the 1st of January? And I would say with a lot of certainty, absolutely not. He has a lot of hurdles to jump over, and it is going to be a process that's going to take some time before we see any substantial change in both tax rates, i.e. corporate tax rates dropping from 25, 28, 23 down to 15, and then also losing national health care. So those are issues on the table. Those are issues on the table that could impact a number of people in a very negative way, could impact some people like some smaller corporations in a very positive way. But as to when that's going to actually occur is still ambiguous. And the other thing that's ambiguous is how much of this is going to get through, because there will be some pushback, not a lot, but there'll be enough pushback to delay this process well into 2025.
Well, do you think who's going to get the Congress? Is it Republicans going to get the
exactly.
House
that's
as
the
well?
Other issue that still isn't resolved yet.
But everybody, this is about the fourth time in my lifetime I've seen this. I should know the dates, but that the maybe both houses of Congress and the president are the same spot. And it happened with, I believe, Bush, and I believe it happened
yes.
with Obama. I'm not so sure. Did it happen with Clinton? Anyway, but those guys weren't able to do squat. You would think everything would be easy, but the pushback from their own party was harder to push back on the other side.
Yes. And it's going to take time. It isn't going to be retroactive to the first of the year. These are going to be policies that take time to implement.
Well, I mean, the listeners of Stocks and Jocks, I mean, the things that you learn here that probably don't learn anywhere else, other than just general, not taxing enough. Now, don't take that out of context and say, I want a tax increase. I don't. Not taxing enough. The biggest single hole is the medical stuff.
Yes.
And the hole there is because of the costs. where you're paying $1,000 for a a fatso pill when it costs $5 to make. I don't care where you put that, who pays for it, that can't happen, or else you got a problem. So I don't see Trump or any of the people around him as you know, as gunslingers as they think they are. One thing they've been very careful to do the entire election process is not say a word about that industry. I mean, they're not going to take on these people. I mean Biden had more balls than he did. He at least tried to get some of the prescription drugs down. He wasn't very effective,
yes,
but he at least tried. These guys aren't even they must all stock in Pfizer or something, for God's sake. I've never seen anything like it. That, I mean, the more you criticize Obamacare, which, by the way, deserves some criticism, the criticism was is they never addressed the cost problem. It's like the guy in the street with the little pea under the three saucers, right? You can move the costs around, but if they're the same numbers, somebody's paying them. And somebody, I've seen people go in hospitals in the last year or something, Dan, the bills they're getting versus all the right, care business they're getting. It's, I mean, $250,000. I mean, give me a break. I mean, what's the overhead in these hospitals? It's worse than colleges now. How many people are doing work versus the size of the building? How much square footage in the place is actually operating room versus people's offices? I mean, what are we doing here? I don't see Trump and his guys. And by the way, if you and I were there, I don't see how we do it. I don't see them going after any of the pieces of this, the real problems in this budget deficit at all. How do you leave that part out? I mean, Social Security, I mean, Carl's given us the numbers. You can fix Social Security tomorrow by raising the, I'm not exactly sure on this, you can raise the Social Security tax by 5% and raise the retirement age by like 1 year, and it's closed. It's that damn close. Now the medical part, they only the taxes only account for 40% of what they're paying, right? It's not even close.
Right.
So I mean, you know, the parts that are really causing the problem, neither side in the campaign talked about.
I think this is going to be a much bigger task for Trump than he originally anticipated. I do think it's going to drag on well into the new year. I do think there will be some pushback. Some of these issues have been talked about for now three terms, and we haven't really seen, and we've seen somehow some effort with Obama and actually instituting the Federal Health Care Act, the Affordable Care Act. But I do think with changes to this, it isn't going to happen overnight. It is going to be a process that's going to take time. And Trump's people are going to have to jump through a number of hoops before this is going to get resolved. In the meantime, hopefully some of the other issues are going to be... some of the other issues will get more prevalence, more importance. For example, what's happening with trade issues, what's happening with tariffs, what's happening with geopolitical issues in general, which are my concerns.
Dan, I'll save you for a second. My criticism, because I mean, all we have is, as one of the guys in the OEX pit used to say, the snipes are grousing, right? Massive criticism I've had of the Republican Party on this medical care stuff, it was never addressed by them. I mean, Hillary, right. Hillary tried to do something. I don't even remember what her plan was. It was good, bad, or in the barrel. So, when Clinton got himself in trouble with his stuff he was doing, so it never went anywhere, right? And the Republicans, all they did was criticize it. Never was anything both sides of the aisle, never anything like that. So you get Bush in there for 8 years. He avoided it like the girl he never wanted to see again. It was like it wasn't the problem. Okay, so Obama tries to do something. I'm going to say doesn't do the job the way I would have done it, or maybe anybody else on the show. But they did something. And so for the last how many years, the Republicans have nothing but shot. I've never once seen a Republican plan. Or something that says, because right now, no matter what you say, you throw it in the middle of the table, 50 other people are going to say that sucks, right?
Right.
You know, so I mean, somewhere along the line here, that party, now that, especially now that they're in office in all three spots probably, better say, let's do something instead of just bitch about Obamacare for 4 years.
Right. I agree.
I mean, you know, it's I could have just as many criticisms of the Democratic Party and stuff like that too. But I mean, Republicans have no place they can talk about the in my opinion, the medical system, because they've done nothing except criticize, in my opinion.
They haven't, right? And that's the point. And I'm not sure how quickly they're going to be doing anything come January. So that's sort of what I'm doing to calm down my clients who think we're going to see a major shift. I think we will see policy changes over time. I don't think they're going to be immediate or going back to January, for example. We're going to see policies that are going to be retroactive to the first of the year. I think they're going to be policies that are going to take time with some pushback, and maybe some form of them will be instituted. One of the discussions which I am in favor of, and I'm sure most people are, is reduction on Social Security income tax. That's does not apply to everyone, but for those people who would do it, does apply to that. It will be a good benefit, and so the new administration hopefully will be focused on those things that affect the vast majority of Americans first, and then those things that may affect certain portions of the American community.
Well, Dan, where would you rank the issues? Now, I don't know, but in any particular order, I would say, and I don't know how you do this when you're trying to maintain this wealth bubble, because that's where people have all their money now, is in wealth, not in earnings. you got to attack the price levels, if you ever want some people.
Price levels, exactly.
But then again, I don't know, I guess you could go with some kind of plan where you kept prices even for 4 years or 5 years and hope that people catch up. That's a hope. You need to do something about these medical costs, because you're just draining people. We have a listener email me the other day. She has one of these kind of orphan diseases or something. Her medication is $22,000 a month for one pill a day.
And she doesn't get help.
Finally, her insurance paid for it, I think. I mean, I didn't get the whole story, but it took a while before they approved it, and blah blah blah. And I don't see how anybody that shift of wealth from some people to other people, especially when a lot of those people are overseas, these companies, right?
Right.
So I mean, it's one thing. If the guy charging you $1,000 was Northwestern Hospital, and he's going out and spending money at your gas station and your store and your saloon, but that's not happening. It doesn't appear. So I think you need to do something with the student loan stuff. I don't like to see young people coming out of school with no ability to buy a car or a house the rest of their friggin' life. I mean, I don't know what the solution there is, but it's a problem. Okay, I think it's a big problem. Just in terms, I'd say medical care, even simple stuff. Dan, where are you on the fact that insurance is deductible to PTI? It's not deductible for me. How stupid is that? We started that one way. Do we want to do that forever? I mean, how many people? I don't want to be people's attorneys or whatever, but I have people that I know that have side construction jobs and stuff, and you pay them, okay. I say, you really should get, and this is not my job, you really should put together a little LLC or something and pay your insurance out of this place, because now it's deductible instead of you sending. How many people in this country don't even know that?
I have a fair number of clients who do know that and are doing that with construction businesses in particular, and other small businesses. I'm not sure how many don't know that, but some of that is really just not paying attention to what's going on and in terms of policies and all that. You do need to keep up on what's going on, even if it seems repetitive and uninteresting. It also is going to give you some of the information. But however, it's not too late. You can still just Google benefits from benefits for insurance based on your income. Having an LLC, the protections of an LLC, the benefits of an LLC, write-offs you have from expenses with an LLC, how to get your taxable income, your net taxable income down. So those are basic things. Certainly talking to an accountant. There are ways. I don't know that we're going to lose a lot of those ways in the early months of next year. However, I think as the year goes on, we're going to be battled with other issues like the wars, like the federal deficit, like tariffs, like maybe not as good a relationship between foreign leaders and our leader. Those are the concerns that I have going into the new year. In that regard, I would say continue to remain relatively conservative. I did have a client.
Hey, Dan, why don't we dash to a quick break? Because I want you to expound on all that. I also want you to talk a little bit about investing.
Yes.
Right now, where you should be, and I'd like you to talk.
That's what I was coming to.
And I want you to also talk a little bit about what Carl was saying last week in terms of where we supply a lot of the stuff that we need, and are there industries that you deal more with the smaller and mid-sized places? Are there people that are, I'm not asking you recommendations, but people that are picking? Well, we'll do it after break because I was stunned last week. We had Carl and Lou on at the same time, and we were talking about having to up our production of missiles and ordnance and things like that with these wars going on, and how much of that is sourced at places that we can't count on. And it's pretty scary.
Exactly.
SP Futures up 11, NASDAQ Futures up 69. Be right back, Stocks and Jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe, Greg Pappas on the board. NASDAQ futures up 69, SP futures up 10. See the headline go by here. Greg, the Germany appoints new finance minister as pressure for quick snap elections mounts. In keeping what Lou was saying, maybe we should see if our buddy Mr. Mike Murphy, our German expert, wants to come on tomorrow with Kevin and talk a little about that, because that's interesting. I didn't realize it was happening that fast. Lou obviously gave us a heads up, and maybe Mike can expound on that a little bit. We will ax him. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 288. That's a big move. Now that maybe, I don't know if that's anything to do with this finance minister guy, but it's up 1.5%. FTSE's unchanged. It's up 5 cents. It's absolutely unchanged. As they dropped their rate what, 0.25, Greg, I believe, their central bank. CAC ran up 42.6%. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei down 99. It's pretty flat compared to how these things have been jumping around. Hang Seng, however, is up 414. That's 2%. Shanghai up 86, 2.5%. Not sure, stronger than expected exports data. So the data is flying back and forth. They produce the data, so I don't know why people pay attention to it. Yesterday, again, I really like giving this numbers because it was such a good day. Dow up 1,500, S&P up 146, NASDAQ up 544. Bonds unchanged at 4.42. The Bund up 7 basis points, 2.46. That's kind of surprising. Japan up 3 basis points, over 1%, 1.01. Oil down 31 cents, 71.38. Brent down 16 cents, 74.76. Natural gas down 2 cents, 272. It was over 3, I believe. RBOB unchanged, 202. Gold now is up 11.50, trying to bounce back after its horrible day yesterday. 26.87. It was 27.50 for a while. Not anymore. It's got to make a big move to get back there. Silver up 17 cents, 31.52. Copper up 15 cents, 4.40. Foreign exchange, and this has been the big move. Euro is pretty much unchanged today at 107.8. That was 111. So that's one of the reasons gold is down, one of the reasons why a lot of stuff is moving the way it is. British pound unchanged, 129.7. Bitcoin, which has been on a tear, actually down a little bit this morning, 1,100 bucks. But still, it was over 75,000, now 74,770. A lot of stuff there, Greg. What do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
Good morning, everyone. It is 7:37 here, 48 degrees right now, sunny today, high of 56 in Chicago, 45 in Phoenix, high of 68 today. It's mostly sunny and cool there. Tonight, a little bit chilly, too. Traffic inbound Kennedy from Montrose is 40 minutes, Edens from Lake Cook, 55 minutes, Eisenhower from Wolf, 43 minutes. Ryan from 95th is 27, and Stevenson from 294 to the Ryan is 41 minutes. Sports, NFL Week 10, Bengals-Ravens tonight at 7:15. Baltimore is favored by 6 there. Bulls lose. That was 99-119.
And the game was not as close as the score would indicate.
Right, 99-119.
Yeah, it was worse than
seemed
that.
Seemed worse.
Yeah.
Suns beat the Heat, and let's see, also the Hawks got blown out. That was 4-1. So I got back to you guys.
Dan, I want to ask you is, you have your finger on the pulse of a lot of smaller industries, and Lou and Carl together last week, I mean, you know, Carl's our expert on all this stuff, and he talks about how many parts, even like a regular old computer you might have on your desk or some of the high-end servers that he uses, there's all kinds of stuff in there. This little thing that plugs in here and plugs in over there. None of that's, well, a real lot of it, none of that is sourced, real lot of it, none of it, is sourced here. That we, everything like that is China, it's Taiwan, it's someplace. And I was just wondering, do you have any rumors or any companies here trying to sort of get in that business, or were they hopelessly be overpriced, nobody buy it for them until they had to, or what's your feel of that? Do you have any? I mean, I'm kind of hitting you out of the blind with this, but do you have any feel of anybody trying to do this stuff? And is there any chance they can make any money yet? Or is there, or people we're going to buy our stuff from China till the day they start bombing us? I mean, what are we doing here?
There are absolutely companies trying to get into the business. Some of the biggest challenges have been cost of materials in particular. There hasn't been any let up in the costs that have been coming from Chinese and other foreign countries, goods that we had been receiving at much lower levels, and those levels in a Trump regime are going to be higher, more challenging. So that is the catch-22, and I think you hit it on the head, Chief. The purpose of us being a capitalized nation is that we can actually start businesses on our own that may provide a better service, better cost, better. There may be some product that is produced that, you know, in a better format, in a better way that is more attractive to the consumer, but the consumer is faced with the higher costs still, and that is still coming from issues of foreign, you know, production of these widgets or machines or whatever they happen to be. Tariffs aren't going to help that.
Well, what happens tomorrow? I mean, you're not a defense expert, but you're a pretty bright dude. What happens tomorrow if China just encircles Taiwan and says, well, I don't want to give anybody any ideas, and just says, by the way, you're ours now, but we're not going to come conquer you, but you're not exporting anything to the U.S. Do we just shut down? With no chips?
I don't know that they shut down. I think they may rejigger, or they may make some effort at reconstructing their operations so that they're going to be even more profitable and even make it more difficult for, keep the costs high, basically.
So what I'm saying is, what happens to us?
What happens to us is it's going to have a negative impact because the cost of capital is going to be much higher.
No, I'm asking, you're not, and neither am I, are we not going to be able to make missiles for a while? Are we not going to be able to make fighter aircraft because 100 of the parts in there come from China? I mean, how tight are we with these guys that they could effectively win a war by just shutting off our supply for the stuff we need to fight wars?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Trump plan, I mean, don't want to give it a whole lot of credit, but I think the plan was to produce those goods and services here
but I mean,
and at a lower cost and providing jobs.
Take a second if you need it, but I mean, the question is, I guess my point is, where are we going to see that happening? And where are the firms that are going to be able to either get a bond in the place, if it's you, or maybe get a stock in the place? But when are we going to see that happening? And on a scale where we can all get involved, I can put some of my clients' money in some of these places.
It is already happening. It may not be at a scale where we can all get involved, but it's absolutely happening. A lot of the defense companies, I know Raytheon, for example. I know there's the aerospace divisions of GE and some other companies have continued to produce, and at a rate that is fairly high. With less dependence already on foreign capital and on foreign investment and on foreign goods and services. So we've been moving in that trend. I think Trump's plan just takes it one step further. Are we ready for one step further? I don't know. I think if we had continued along the path that we're going along, things would be okay over time. He's just going to accelerate that process, and in accelerating that process, it will be more difficult to get these items that they need to complete their whatever their defense products are, and to do it in a timely manner.
Well, Dan, where do you stand? You don't know it, but you're my economics guy, my more practical.
Yes.
We have two professors. You're not quite a professor, but you're. Where do you stand on the tariff issue? You know, if I was still at the University of Chicago when I was young, and somebody were to talk about tariffs, everybody who likes free market people, I mean, hell no, doesn't think of me as a liberal economist, but I am. I mean, tariffs in general are a bad thing, I think. But now we have other, everything depends on everything else, right? Well, we didn't have, maybe we did in those days, or maybe people didn't care about it, but the mantra used to be, the Milton Friedmans of the world, was you didn't have tariffs, you wanted free trade, and if other people were doing nasty stuff in their area to make the stuff cheaper, it was a benefit to you because they're selling you stuff ridiculously cheap. And oh, by the way, they'll eventually get tired of that, and they'll end up being like us, you know, with labor unions and people don't like labor. And all of a sudden, they'll be making themselves a fair wage. They'll be demanding it, and oh, by the way, now we got a whole bunch of customers we can sell our stuff to. And that was the theory kind of forever. But now it's been a while, and Carl brings this up, that the tariffs, even though economically, in theory, they're not a very good idea. I'd pretty much say that categorically. But if you have a country that, even though you don't want 14-year-old girls working in a factory, they don't mind it, paying 20 cents an hour. And oh, by the way, you don't want to pour crap in your river, but they don't mind it, even if it's the other side of your river. Carl thinks that you need to, if I don't know who could do this, Harry Houdini or somebody, you need almost to even that up using tariffs so your people can still compete. Now, in theory, I don't know about that. Where do you come down on that, if it could be done? I mean, why should somebody here legitimately making blue jeans and being nice with the dyes after he does it have to compete with somebody who throws them in a river someplace? I mean, it makes it very difficult. But I don't know how you orchestrate that. What is your feeling on that?
Yeah, I think the original plan is just that we do produce more goods and services here. We do it at a lower price. We do have the advantage of having shorter supply chains, more work on the development and the implementation of supply chain management. I think in theory it makes a lot of sense. In practicality, you're still going to have lower costs, lower costs of labor, lower costs in general of, and maybe not even a quicker way of getting those goods to the end users. So there is going to be a challenge. I think the initial challenge is going to be not felt within the first few months, but I think it's going to start to be felt if this becomes a cross-the-board tariff, cross-the-board challenge to get goods and services and goods at the right prices from overseas. The positive impact here in the U.S., I think more of the positive impact here in the U.S. has to do with camaraderie and making the goods and services and widgets at more reasonable hours, getting, you know, not feeling the dependence on overseas investments, which again I think was the original plan, and really trying to be number one in these industries where we've lagged in recent decades.
Well, Dan, what would you, I mean, as Americans, as I think pretty good people like everybody on this show is, we want stuff here where people can make it, people can have a good job, make a good living. Not ridiculous to where you cheat people, just a good living to where, but as investors, I just throw one out there. My nephew is in the metalworking business where they make a lot of parts and stuff for people that have big factories, you know, Tootsie Roll and people like that. And there's all kinds of supply people for something like that. Now, Chicago used to be an incredible hotbed of that. I mean, you had U.S. Steel Southworks where the governor's trying to put somebody in. You had Pullman that made railroad car after railroad car. They had their own place that made, we could make just about everything. We at Pullman, I used to be there. But we still supplied a lot of it out. There was always somebody that says, hey, you guys are punching, you know, that particular piece of the side of the railroad car. How much is it costing you? I can do it for you, you know, and just buy it from me. I'll save you a few bucks. But there was always that incredible competition. But this is, you know, this is the late 70s I'm talking about. So for the last 45 years, it has been a decimating, dying industry to where even though, like my nephew's place, they're very busy. They're anybody they can find qualified, it's hard to do. They're willing to hire them. It's a beautiful story, to be honest with you. The owner's not feeling so well, but that's not so good. But they actually bought a little place where the guy was retiring just so they could get his workers and moves. So that, but now, you know, we're going to have some tariffs, let's say. Are you willing to, I guess I'm willing to hire a few people to put on a second shift or something and maybe work a couple of Saturdays and maybe buy a machine or two if Trump's tariffs come in and all of a sudden we actually get some more business that used to be some other place. I don't know that I would trust Trump or any of these people, maybe him especially, to not 3 years from now, when my factory is just getting ready to go over and break rice with Z, saying he's his new buddy, and drop the tariffs. And all of a sudden, I'm right back where I started from. In other words, can you, if you're talking about a plant that's 2 years to build or whatever, or we're talking about millions of dollar assets and not just incremental, a new machine, a new guy, another new machine, a new guy, I don't know that I'm ready to do plan B because how many times have these tariffs gone up and down in the last 5 years or 10 years? I mean, I don't know if I'm in, you know, on foot or horseback with this stuff.
Yeah, I would agree on most of your points. The issue, again, I go back to thinking that this issue, the discussion of this issue is going to be important initially. The implementation of this issue, I believe, is going to take a little longer than anticipated or than Trump's team is expecting it to take. And as a result, I think at the same time, we're going to start seeing some improvement in manufacturing, in costs, in labor costs, in the cost of materials. That's going to somewhat offset some of the tariffs and some of the need for tariffs. And with a smart regime, and we still don't know if we have a smart regime, the goal will be to let these two issues work simultaneously until there's a softish, if you want to use those words, landing down the road. My strong belief is it doesn't happen soon.
Sort of like the idiot talking about the oil production. Aren't the tariffs, they weren't Biden to get rid of them, did he? Aren't they actually up from when Trump left? Or they haven't gone down, have they, for Chinese people? Or have they?
I don't think so.
No, I mean, everybody's got this idea that Biden bleep-canned all Trump's tariffs. I don't think he did. Maybe that's a question for Carl tomorrow, but I think they're still there. A lot of them.
Yeah, I think a lot of them are still there, and it is a process. You know, it isn't a switch, snap your finger and it changes. And that's what Americans need to realize, and that's what investors need to realize, and that's what we aren't going from. We're not going into a black and white scenario on day one in January. It's going to take time for some of the policies to work themselves out, some of the changes to occur over time. Hopefully, and this would be the best case scenario, is that where some of the tariffs may need to be imported in some areas, may need to be fixed, that those will come in gradually and not at the highest rates, and those will be offset by some of the progress we've made, albeit slowly, in the last few years.
Well, Greg, all the tariffs, all the soybean and
on like EVs off, right? And stuff, he's kept them.
Okay, but all the stuff on grains and stuff, that's all pretty free.
Grains came off, but I think over the past few months they've kind of priced in anything Trump would have done. We're already trading March, May, July pretty heavily into next year. They'd maybe moved 15 cents. As the election was happening.
Well, the idea that we couldn't export soybeans over there, that's been good. You can do whatever you want exporting right. Beans and stuff right now.
As soon as America slaps tariffs on anything, you start playing the game of who's going to buy it from us and then resell it somewhere else.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, let's see.
So, in effect, there's a little bit more friction in that someone from South America or someone who is... I don't know, just another market participant will put their flag in it, buy it here and sell it somewhere else where there's no tariff.
I actually was being a smartass one day, imagine that. And Dan, I asked a question, I forgot who my poor co-host was. I said, okay, you load a ship up in China with whatever you're supposed to be tariffs on. You go down to Vietnam. If you just wave it to somebody on the shore, does that become Vietnam goods, or do you got to actually offload it onto another ship, or do you got to pull into dock? How easy?
My guess would be there's a cash payment that happens, and okay. Then you're on your way. In terms of what we were thinking pre-election, a couple of the guys who are in the office and I were planning for, if they do start hitting the beans and they go limit or something, then that would be in the downward direction, simply because it just gets harder to. There's more friction, like I said.
But right now, somebody from China can come over and buy beans, and he can, there's no problem with that.
Right, and they don't necessarily label it from China. There'll be undisclosed buyers or whatever, but you can tell if somebody shows up with huge orders, that's usually
now
China.
Now, those beans mostly are the northern ones that go by rail to Washington, right? They leave from there?
Some go out the Pacific. And some go down.
Some go down to New Orleans.
Yeah, yeah.
Danny, are you doing any of the? I know you're more in the fixed income stuff. Do any of your people do any commodity stuff through you?
We have we have selectively gotten involved in commodities. I know today was not, or it hasn't been the best day for gold and silver. There will be a shift there. We had been for several months running gold and silver up. It's been a really great period in recent months. This news of the election, I think, is going to put that to a halt for a little period of time, but it will come back. The question is just when. Oil, obviously, selling off today, kind of in tandem with other utilities. Again, we're not quite sure how that's going to play out, because there will be an increase in geopolitical risk in the energy sector. another area that we have been looking at, you know, we've talked before about corporate bonds. Bonds in general, just to give listeners a really clear understanding, because there's a lot of press out there right now putting bonds down, saying bonds, you know, with Trump, bonds are not going to do as well. Well, when they're talking about those bonds that won't do as well with Trump, they are not the bonds we are buying. We are only buying very short-term bonds, bonds that mature under 2 years, and that would be for T-bills, treasury notes, corporate bonds, municipal bonds. You're still getting a lot of yield because the yield curve is still in our favor, and you also are not going to be whipsawed by higher rates. So rates on the long end, Tom, as we've been talking for years, are going up. They are not going up on the short end. In fact, we're likely to see another 25 basis point cut today by the Federal Reserve. So that pace of rate cuts is likely to decline with the Trump administration going forward. However, that continues to make short-term bonds a very attractive buy, whether they be T-bills, whether they be corporate bonds, whether they be municipal bonds. Do not go longer than 5 years, because the part of the yield curve and those bonds that are going to be at much risk are going to be the longer dated bonds. So stay short. You're getting some nice yield still, 4.75, 4.90 on some short T-bills. You're getting 5%, 6%, 7% on some short-term corporates. We can talk more about some of those ideas next week.
Yeah.
But the bottom line with bonds is don't listen to the press entirely, because bonds are still very good, but the ones that are really good are the very short term, under 3 years.
Dan, what do you think of that shift in subject? You're our expert there. Whenever I have a client, they go, I'll ask Dan the question on Thursday, and everyone wants to listen, right? What do you make of a day like, a day like yesterday is unusual, but we have, we haven't had much going on in the XLE in a while. We used to be one of our bigger holdings until it really didn't do much compared to the rest of the market. XLE, for those that don't know, there's like 10 or 11 maybe now in the SPYDR, the SPY, the S&P 500, there's like 10 or 11 smaller indices, ETFs, that if you buy them all, they add up to the SPYDR. Well, the XLE is the oil piece of that.
Yes.
The XLV is the medical piece. That kind of. Well, yesterday he had, with the idea that Trump's going to open up the drilling as if Biden never closed it, because we're at record levels. The idea was oil prices are going to go down, which they did. Okay, but then the XLE, which is the oil companies that are involved in the oil stuff, I mean your Exxons and your Schlumbergers and people, that was way up. So when you see that, what do you think? You should be buying oil and selling the stocks, or just letting it clear up for a day? Or do you think that if oil prices actually are going to go down, that these companies are buy? I don't know about that. I mean, what do you think about it? I mean, I know we don't normally give specific stuff like that, but whenever I see something going two different directions, I have to ask you.
Yeah, there are too many geopolitical risks with oil. There's too many different factors right now that are impacting the price of oil. And as we saw at the beginning of the pandemic, oil prices just skyrocketing, just plummeting to record levels. This is a tough time to be betting on oil. If you're going to make a bet in commodities, take a closer look at gold and silver. Silver is still likely to go up here in the long run, but watch the dollar. The dollar is starting to look stronger under the Trump policies. Be careful, because when the dollar is strong, your commodities are generally not going to be as strong. So I would not take an extra allocation, nor would I be selling out here. I would just be sitting still until we have a better idea of geopolitical risks and some of the truth behind the Trump trade promises.
Well, we had a real nice day yesterday, Dan, and actually could be even better the next couple of days, because we have a pretty good position in some of the metals, and we've one of our biggest positions is in the healthcare stuff, and we've got a lot of people are in the Russell, which has been not much of a
well.
But yesterday, all of a sudden, wow,
cap, yeah,
yeah, But you know, it's interesting when you have our program where we're protected, you really don't have to. The program almost makes the trade for you. I mean, we had
absolutely we
had puts in the GDX, okay, and so we had everybody protected. So GDX is the gold miners. GDX gets hammered, right? Okay, so it's down like $2, but we had the puts, so you know we're down 40-50 cents maybe, you know, and you know, because so we pretty much locked in the profit of the thing going up. Well, so we rolled all our puts down, so now the thing's coming back today. If it comes back for two more days, we're gonna end up ahead of the game, even though the thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not me speculating. It's just, oh, our puts are deep in the money. Time to roll them down. You know, same way with, you know, we did the same thing with the Qs and with the Russell yesterday.
Yes.
If it goes back down now, you know, we're not gonna lose. We're gonna make $5 on the upside, and on the way down, if it goes back down the same $5, we're gonna lose one. You know, or one and a half.
Yeah, great.
And I think, and you kind of get to the same risk management sort of stuff by staying in your lane in terms of time out there, where if the interest rates go skyrocketing or go the other way, the worst that can happen is you wait it out for 6 months on a T-bill or something like that, or a shorter-term thing that you find better than a T-bill, or a year. And, oh, by the way, you're all fat and happy, and then you can make your decision again 6 months or a year from now. I mean, it makes so much sense. You know, I don't know. It's just so different than the way people have invested for the last 15, 20 years.
Yes.
But I think more people should be involved. I mean, I say it all the time. If it makes one phone call here, and you can get Dan and me. I don't know where else you get that kind of skill set with one phone call, Dan. I really don't. But anyway, everyone knows where they can find us. Dan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good job, Greg, and thank you for your input. I think next week it'll be interesting. Every week's going to be interesting, Dan.
Yes.
S&P futures up 15, nice. NASDAQ futures up 100, so we're still moving up. I don't know how long that's going to last, but as of now, it's still good news. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jocks.
Bye.
That's all, folks.